Well, that's why grace is so amazing, isn't it? Greater than all our sins. Well, wonderful. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, we're looking at the fourth commandment. Last week, we took this commandment and we went over to the New Testament where Christ had an encounter with the religious leaders over this very commandment. Over the Sabbath day. This morning, we're going to go back to chapter 20 and look at 9 through 11. This is the longest commandment. And it can really, if you take these verses, you can kind of break it down, give you an outline. In verse 8, he is telling us what the command is. What is the commandment? In verse 9 and 10, he is telling us how is it to be obeyed. And then in verse 11, why is it to be obeyed? So there's your breakdown. If you want to give you an outline right there. All right. So what is this commandment? Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this was not something they were to remember once a year. It was not something they were to remember just one time. This was every week. On that seventh day, they were to remember that day as the Sabbath. It is a reminder that they were to lay aside a day to give God glory for who he is and for his mighty works, and to show their love for him in a special way. That was the idea of the Sabbath. It is to be remembered. It is to be kept holy. It is literally to be set aside, set apart, to be a special day. So he says, remember the Sabbath to keep it set apart, to keep it as a special day. Well, that doesn't seem to be too productive, does it, for man? That doesn't work into their scheme of things. That is not going to help my income. That is not going to help me to get more money. That is not going to help me to do some things I want to do. So that doesn't seem to be too good for man, does it? Doesn't seem to be too productive for man to set aside that day for the Lord. There are things that I have to do. There's work that has to be done. There's money that needs to be made. There are things I got to buy. There are things I enjoy doing. So that doesn't seem too good. Doesn't give him an opportunity for what we call in the service R&R, rest and relaxation. Not when I got to worship the Lord. Not when I got to give him that day. Yet God says, keep it holy. Set it apart. Set it apart as a special day. That's verse 8. Now verse 9, 10. How is it to be obeyed? Well, let's read. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So now he said, this is how you obey. He's giving us the rundown right there. So what is commandment? Verse 8. How are we to obey that commandment? Verse 9 and 10. So 6 days. He says 6 days you work. Now today some people work 5 days. Some people even work 4 days. Some people work 6 days. Some people work every day. I've got a workaholic out here. But there are those who don't work all day, every day. Right? No, they don't. Not many. They might have a 4-day work week, 12 hours in the day. They might have a 5-day work week. They might have a 6-day work. Normally that's it. 4, 5, or 6. But they usually do not take and work all day, every day. That's a known fact. I've seen too many cars on the highway. Okay? I had to go to Raleigh the other day to get to an electrical situation for a guy. And I'm telling you, it took me forever to get there. The traffic was horrendous. And my question was, do they not work? And then you go by the mall and it's packed slam out. And I'm thinking, you know, and I've always wondered about those from New Jersey. I asked a guy, he was from New Jersey. I said, does anybody live in New Jersey anymore? He said, well, and I said, well, they're all down here. I said, everywhere I see is a New Jersey license plate. I said, the state's got to be empty. But it's the truth. I told Jenny, I said, go down the road, count how many you see. I don't know what it is about New Jersey. They like North Carolina, I reckon. I'd rather have it in North Carolina. I said, everybody down here is from New Jersey now. So we know that God says 6 days. Now, man has always looked at work as being bad. But that's not the case. Turn with me to chapter 2 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Now, why does man see it as bad? Well, I can tell you. One reason is that work keeps man from doing what he rather be doing. That's one reason it's bad. It keeps man from doing what he won't be. Have you seen cars with the stickers on them that says, I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be fishing. And then you got another sticker that says, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. Well, I don't know about that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you got a bad day fishing, that's a lot of work to come back home empty. Hope we don't do that on the 17th. But that's man's thinking. But notice chapter 2, what it says in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to tend it, dress it, cultivate it, and keep it. This is before the fall, folks. This is before the fall. So you think, well, it sounds like work to me. You got to cultivate it. I don't know what he cultivated, because the curse hadn't come yet. But it's before the fall. So God says, man is made to work. It's good for man to work. I'm telling you, I can't sit around and do nothing. I ain't do it. But it's good for man to work. Now, some people retire and they say, well, I'm not going to do a thing. I'm just going to sit here and go. You know what happens? I hate to say it, but they die. They don't last long. You know, I found that out. Because they lived all their life working, it's been good for them, and then they stop. I told you, if I do that, then, you know, something's wrong with me. Well, the fact was that work was not meant to be bad for man. The only way, the reason man sees it bad, it keeps him from doing what he'd rather do. So he don't work. Some don't work. Some don't work. The trouble came when the curse came. And work was cursed by sin. Look over at chapter 3. Notice verse 17. And add this after the fall. Now, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. I ain't going to say that. Might get myself in trouble. Thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. You know what he's talking about there? You plant a garden, and you're going to have to take care of it, because if you don't, it's going to be covered with weeds. So every time you go out in the garden, every time you go out and pick something and all, and you got to pull up those weeds, you just think about that verse. That's because of sin. The ground's cursed. So it ain't fun anymore, is it? Now, gardening is fun. I know people like gardening, but I don't know if I've ever, I don't know, it might be some, that say, you know, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to let my weeds grow so I can go out there and do a little more work, pull them weeds out. Yeah, I'll do that. Listen, I don't have a garden. We're close to having one, maybe. But right now, I stay busy picking pine cones up. I mean, it's unbelievable. Pine cones. So I told Jenny, I said, that does it. I said, every day I'm going to go out there in that yard and pick up pine cones. And that way I only got about 10, 15 to pick up. If I wait a week or two, I'll have 500 to pick up. But I had to stay on top of it. Now, I don't sit in the house and say, man, come on, fall, boys, fall. Let me go out there and start picking you up. No, no. That's not fun. That's not fun. Well, it came because of the curse. It came because of sin, and so the ground was cursed. So God is saying, now notice, in what we read on that commandment, God is saying this, I have given you 6 days to do all your work, and I've only taken one day for myself. And you know you don't work all day, every day. But I've given you 6 days to do what you need to do. 6 days to work. And I've only given myself one day. There are 168 hours in a week. And we struggle to give God 4 hours of it. Three on Sunday and one on Wednesday. Well, with me, it might push to 5 hours. But we struggle to... Isn't that... Now, think of that. Do the math. We have 168 hours and we can't give him 5 hours. I'll give it to 5 hours. Now, why is that? Why is that? Now, you can say, oh, well, you know, a lot of them 168 hours got to sleep. Let me tell you something. How late do you stay up at night on television? How late do you stay up at night on the phone? Some 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning playing games, whatever. Right? So don't tell me you can't give God 5 hours. Now, I understand some things. You might be sick and all that. You might be able not to. But I'm going to tell you, it's disrespectful and dishonoring God when we cannot give him that. Then you can slice that pie any way you want to. But that's the truth. When we cannot do that, we are dishonoring God. There's a problem somewhere that ain't right. Now you think about it. He said, I've given you 6 days. And all I'm asking is one day. Now we know as you, if you're a solid Christian, you're going to worship the Lord during the week. You'll have devotion. I hope you do. But he says, this is a special day. This is a day to be set aside where you can honor me. This is, as been called now, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. So 6 days, he said, 6 days for you, one day for me. And we struggle to give him 1 hour. I wonder, you know, does it mean that much to you? How much does it mean to you? How much do you love him? I hear people say, well, I love the Lord. Really? How much time you give him? How do you show it? You remember when you was in love and all, and you're dating? Oh, I love her. I love him. You know what? You couldn't stay away from him. Couldn't stay away from him. You couldn't wait until the next time you had a date. Be with him. Why is that not with the Lord? Is it boring? Is it boring? Is it something we just... you know what it is? It's Satan. Stole flesh. You're in a battle. And you know who wins? Devil does just about every time. Devil does just about every time. That's exactly the way it is. And we can't give him that much time. Well, there's something else about it. Now, notice he says here that Israel was to do this. Now, it would make them separate from every other nation because at that time, no other nation remembered the Sabbath. So they were distinct. They were special. They were different. Israel was. So there was something about this Sabbath. This Sabbath was to be holy. It was to be set aside. Now, there's something else about this Sabbath. Turn with me to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And look at verse 3. Six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. You know what a holy convocation is? Assembly. It's a gathering together of His people to worship the Lord. It's a corporate worshiping. Today we would call it the family of God. It is an assembly. And so the Lord tells us, commands, this is to be my special day. And it's a special day because you come together as a family and you fellowship. And you pray. And you have the Word of God. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, honored that because He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day. And He taught. He honored that day. The Puritans, they had a special name for the Sabbath. They called it the market day of the soul. The market day of the soul. 6 days was for transaction of business, commercial business. But this day was for the transaction of spiritual business. The transaction of spiritual business. It was also a day of rest because the word means to cease or to rest. A day to recuperate. It's kind of like, you know, people have farms, they'll wear their land out. You know what God always said? Give it a year of rest. Let it rest for a year, and it'll produce more. But you know why I don't let it rest a year? Lose money. Know why we don't rest on Sunday? Lose money. Well, same principle, right? Same principle. So it's a day to just step back from the grind and enjoy God Himself. And enjoy God Himself. That was the view of the Puritans. It was a day that the family, parents, would teach their children the things of the Lord. So that's the way the Puritans saw it. They saw that as a special, special day. Now, go back to chapter 20 of Exodus again. Chapter 20. Notice in verse 10. Do you see everybody that's named there? Everything, animals, your daughter, your son, manservant, maidservant, cattle, even strangers coming in the gate. Now notice, you go back there and you look at that. It included the servants. It included the servants. Employers had responsibility to care for their employees. They had responsibility to care for their employees. Now, I don't know, but there's a whole lot, there's not a lot of employers that even think about Sunday as a different day and gives them their people off. Chick-fil-A does. And you go in there, and it'll tell you on the wall why they do it. So they will have the opportunity to worship as a family. And all the attacks they faced 5-6 years ago, they didn't hurt one bit. In fact, it gave them more business. They blossomed because they honored God. They honored God. And God honored them. That's what it's talking about here. Give those to work for you time to worship, time off to rest. Even the animals need some relief. The fact is, we've got employers that will work human beings like animals. But he says animals need relief. Your employees need relief. They need to have that time off. And if they're a Christian, to have the opportunity to worship the Lord. And maybe the unbelievers might see that and come to Christ. But I don't believe unbelievers see a whole lot of passion for people coming to church. So I don't know if it makes a whole lot of difference. That's the sad thing. That is the sad thing. You got Christian that works in a job or something, they got their co-workers around them, and the co-workers know they named the name of Christ, know that they are a Christian, and they might ask them, what are you going to do this weekend? Well, we're going to go fishing Sunday. Next week rolls around, what you going to do this weekend? Well, I don't know. We're probably taking a trip to the beach this Sunday. You ever go to church? Well, once in a while. Once in a while when we don't have anything else to do. Yeah. What a testimony. What a testimony. Now, I'm not standing up here and saying you should. There are times you might fish on site. I'm not saying. I am saying that the testimony we give as Christians in this country, going to church is sorry. And then when you get some churches, you might as well stay home because you didn't get much anything. You might as well stay at home anyway. That's a problem. That's a problem. Well, it even included, like I said, the animals, the servants, and all that. Can you imagine a society doing that? Can you imagine our society today doing that? All at rest. All given opportunity to worship. Once a week, people can stop work and turn their attention to God. Sadly, the Israelites forgot the Sabbath too. Turn with me to Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13. In Nehemiah, God's people had come back. Remember, they came back from captivity. Not all of them. A lot of them came back to rebuild the walls, to rebuild Jerusalem. They repented of their sins. They kept the feasts. They promised to stay in a covenant relationship with their God. And that's what they did. But then Nehemiah went back to Babylon for a while. Had some business to do there, I guess. He went back to Babylon. And then when he comes back, guess what? They were not keeping covenant with God, particularly in the Sabbath. Notice what he says in verse 15 and 16. And this is chapter 13 of Nehemiah. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in the sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals or their wares. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought in fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath to the children of Judah in Jerusalem. So it was business as usual. When Nehemiah came back, everything was going as usual. And they had broken their promise to God. They had broken their covenant, or staying in covenant with the Lord. Now look back at chapter 10 and verse 31 of Nehemiah. Chapter 10 and verse 31. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it. That was their promise to God. We would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. So they would not buy anything from somebody that came in selling stuff on the Sabbath day. But that didn't last long, did it? Not when you come over to chapter 13. Come over to chapter 13, everything's changed. They began to think of the Sabbath as nothing different than any other day. No more was it special. It was just a day to make more business. Business as usual. Now notice what Nehemiah did in verse 17 of chapter 13. Chapter 13, Nehemiah, verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do, and profane the Sabbath day? Now, I'm just going to stop reading there. You can continue reading if you want to. Because it's time, I'm going to stop reading. So he confronts them. And then in verse 19, it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. So what did Nehemiah do? He made laws for them that they were to carry on and not break the Sabbath. Well, God, I don't think God wants us to establish laws that would force us to do this. Not like he did with Nehemiah. Not like he did with me. But in order to set the Lord's day aside and for the need that man has, rest and worship, and we do, certainly, we need to stop following the dictates and the shouting and the screaming of our culture and our society and letting them run everything. Because culture and the unbelievers and society sees it as just another day to make a buck. And they could care less whether you're a Christian or not. They want their money. They want their profit. That's why it's so easy that we're going to see revelation that we win this morning come about. Because they will be materialistically under a materialistic stupor. Well, they're already in that. A lot of businesses already in it. Well, verse 11 tells us the reason for this. Notice. For, and this is back in Exodus 20. And here it says, for. Here's the reason. He says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God, and we serve a God who works and a God who rests. And we are made in His image. So this commandment, He takes it all the way back to creation. When He created this earth, this world, this universe. When He created all things and He rested. But there's another reason that's not even mentioned here. Not even mentioned here in this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Because Deuteronomy, he repeats every one of them. He just wants to remind the people, here they are. He repeats every one of these commandments. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the 10 repeated, and they are identical except one thing. Now, if you start reading in verse 12, it says, keep the Sabbath day. This is chapter 5, Deuteronomy, verse 12. To sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded. Then he goes, 6 days thou shalt labor, do all thy work. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, thy daughter, manservant, maidservant. Ah, same thing. But then look at verse 15. And remember, now he don't go to creation here. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. Do we get what he's saying there? He said, not only do you keep it as a creation, but as a redeeming. You remember that you were redeemed. Why should we keep the Lord's day? Because redemption, right? Because what God has done for you. See, he didn't even mention creation there. It was all about coming, delivering them out of bondage. He delivered them out of the bondage of Egyptians. Jesus Christ, God has delivered us from the bondage of sin. Well, if you go to Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, it talks about that. But I'm going to let you look that up. Talked about Christ as our rest. Christ is our rest. Christ gives a whole new meaning to the word rest. Martin Luther said this, the spiritual rest which God especially intends in this commandment is that we not only cease from our labor and trade, but much more. That we let God alone work in us, and that in all our powers we do nothing of our own. because he did it all for us. We rest from the labor. We don't work for our salvation. Well, we know that his atoning work, his death, his resurrection changed from the seventh day now to the first day of the week, Sunday. And they called it the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day was a day of worship, not the seventh day now, but the first day, coinciding with the resurrection of Christ. And keeping the Lord's Day set apart preserved, in essence, the Sabbath principle. The Sabbath principle. Now, when they talked about the Sabbath covered every law, every level of law in Israel. Number one, the civil law. It was a time that ceased to exist. It's a time when they broke the Sabbath, guess what? They paid for it. It was a civil law that has been broken. There was the ceremonial law. It was also a ceremonial law. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He fulfilled that. But it was also a moral law. Man needs rest. Man needs to worship. Man needs both of those. And certainly the Sabbath day in the Old Testament was for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was not for man to do what he wanted to do. It was for man to rest and worship God. That is still binding. You can go to the New Testament and you can look many scriptures up where we are commanded to worship God. Their scriptures have to do with corporate worship. We're commanded to do that. That is still binding on us. The moral part of that law is still there. To honor God and respect God and have corporate worship and come aside. Go to Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Go to his church, all to his church epistles. Well, Sunday is the Lord's Day. Now, although many Christians don't, certainly most all Christians don't take the seventh day to worship, Seventh Day Adventists, but it is to the Lord. The principle is still here when it comes to the Lord's Day. So it's now the Lord's Day, and it's a special day. Now, here's the thing. This special day was observed for many years. Last week, I said it was a different day. You did things you didn't do any other day. You dressed different. You worshiped. You went to church. And all. That went on for years. That went on for years. There was a reverence toward God. There was a reverence toward God and worship of God that today seems absolutely foreign. Absolutely foreign. Why? The attitude had changed. The attitude of this country changed. The attitude of work changed. The attitude after World War II. They went through a tough time. So now, remember after World War II, it was the time of getting things. Getting my children things I never had, or I've gone through a tough time, recession and everything. Now we're going to buy. How do I buy? I go to work. So what did that do? Well, we need another day. We need another day because we need to get all the money we can. So guess what? Sunday is attacked. Sunday is attacked. We need to pick it. Well, we can work 7 days. We want to get this. We want to get that. Because the 50s and 60s, that's what it all was about. It was consumerism. Because they'd gone so long from down in what World War II had done. And we can't live with this anymore. It's another day we got to have to make some money. But you know what? Their attitude changed. But the deeper thing is their attitude changed in respect to God, which is continuing to change today. The truth is, it was really a rejection of God. It was a rejection of God. And the real tragedy is that Christians followed the way of the world. When they changed that law to where they started, there was a time when there were no businesses were open, there was no buying and selling, no shopping. Few restaurants were open. But all of a sudden, culture comes in, we can't do that no more. We got to change the laws. And for a right good while, the churches stood strong and they opposed it. But All of a sudden, convenience ruled the day. Convictions fell by the wayside. No more of conviction anymore, just convenience now that we do that. What if when the world changed the law that Christians didn't change? What if that had happened? They continued to observe the Lord's day as they'd done so. What if they had refused to work on Sunday or shop anything on Sunday? What if they'd have done that? What if they'd have lived by their convictions? What about that? Where would we be? God be having more honor and more respect today than he has. What if they had done that when the change took place? They protested for a while, but they let the world have its way. And that happens so much today. I'll end with this. Remember Eric Little. Eric Little, missionary son. He worked and sacrificed so hard to run in the Paris Olympics in the 100 meters. When he learned that the heats were on a Sunday, he refused. Now here's a man that put a lot of work into this, but he said, I'm not going to run on Sunday. Not going to run. Many of those that went to the theaters and saw Chariots of Fire, they come out of there, wow, great. He stood. But they left not standing. Oh, they just liked it as a movie. They didn't see the message. They didn't see the message. They just went out and rejoined the world. Just rejoined the world. Business as usual. Business as usual. I have a guy that was in our youth group. He does yard work now. He was an excellent basketball player. Excellent. Wake Forest came down to see him play. And he was good. Wake Forest came down, was going to give him a scholarship to play. He was good at baseball. Excellent as a team. But then all of a sudden, baseball says we have got to have our games on Wednesday night. He said, Dad, he said, what am I going to do, Dad? He said, you're not going to go. He said, you know what's priority here in this house. And he never did. It's amazing to me, how things are scheduled on Wednesdays and Sundays. I mean, tell you, Satan ain't dumb. He knows what he's doing. And he knows we'll just follow right along. And I will never forget, he told me, it's been about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, we got talking. He said, you know, he says, when my dad told me that, he said, it really almost broke my heart. Because he loved to play baseball. He said, but you know what? I am so glad he did that. I am so glad he did that. He said, I appreciate it much. And he's faithful in church, him and his wife both. Every Sunday, he umpires for different leagues during the week. He does yard work. And he's a busy man. He's a busy man.